back, folks, to the Right Field Roundtable Podcast. My name's Brad Mraz, here with Cooper and Austin. We're talking all things Alabama baseball. We'll start out on Friday. Tide took on Tennessee in a home series. And this one was a good one, guys. This one, I was able to watch this game, cover this game. All around good. Tyler Raz, decent outing. Four runs, seven hits, one walk, four errors, though, which was a big problem, and three strikeouts. However, the bullpen came through and the bats came through, and the Tide really fought back. They were down 4-0 going into the fourth inning when we had a huge fourth inning, a couple walks, a double, scored some runs. We got it to 4-3. Then in the fifth, Sam Prater, who's been red hot along with Peyton Wilson, just able to hit a home run there with Denton on base, make the score 5-4. And then Williamson came through with a sack fly in the fifth and then a home run in the eighth to get that 4-7 win. Like I said, there's a couple guys here that are just red hot. Peyton Wilson is one of them. You can't stop the kid in the leadoff spot, which is huge. This was a good win, and, due to some of the unfortunate circumstances of the weekend, this was a big win for the Crimson Tide and the community with the passing of Luke Ratliff, unfortunately. But this was a good win for the Crimson Tide, for him, and for the team to get their second SEC win. Guys, what did you think of Friday night?
Definitely agree. This was a great just a great showing, Not really after the news because during the game and, there's probably no way for the players to know that, but for the win to happen on that night, that was just something special beyond here. So just sad news of the passing of Luke Ratliff, but a good win for Alabama and was not expecting a win on Friday. It was a pleasant surprise to see that on such a somber night.
Yeah. Especially after being down 4-0, to start the game.
Yeah.
That wasn't a good start. Austin, what did you think of Friday?
For sure, guys. Great to get that win on Friday for myself as well. Knowing Luke going through the beginning of my college career here, always a smiling face, good to see at the games, just a great overall guy. Loved his baseball just as much as his basketball. And so good to see that win coming out for him on the weekend. And don't want to say I told you so, guys. But if we can roll the tape, calling the win on Friday, definitely a strong win for the Crimson Tide. I think we've got room to grow moving forward for sure.
Yeah, I think this was the – as we get into this series, and we'll move into Saturday right now, but I think – although the outcome probably wasn't exactly what we all wanted in the series, I think this series showed a lot more potential than the Ole Miss or the Arkansas series where, we come out on Friday and we're guns blazing and then we fall off. So we'll move into Saturday and Cooper will take us through that Saturday game.
Yeah, so I had the pleasure of getting to go to Saturday's game through another one way or another. Thought I could go via the radio station, but I got to go via the TV station. Hey, it's all good. Got to see Alabama baseball. First off, this is when they honored Luke. They had a moment of silence and a picture of him on the video board. It was very nice, very, very cool to see the campus come together. And then the team did what the team does when Dylan Smith pitches and do nothing. I am so just sick and tired of seeing Dylan Smith have this kind of a line. Four innings, five hits, not that great, but no runs, no earned runs, five strikeouts. A very solid line, and the score is 1-0 when he leaves the mound. A hammer home run, which was great, but absolutely nothing when Dylan Smith is throwing fire on the mound. You take him off, you put our bullpen in, which is, I've been saying this all podcasts, a downgrade from the starters, and it's 4-1 before you know it. Like, It's for
I don't want to cut you off here, Cooper, but
yeah,
I don't want to cut you off, but there were a couple good stories with that Hamader home run that I would just like to include. One, Hamader was probably Luke's best and most favorite guy on the team. So that was a very cool moment to see Hamader go yard that day. But secondly, what a catch by Rory the dog on the home run. Did y'all see that? Rory the dog.
Did not see this. Well, so the dog.
So Hammy's home run kind of went off that second tier and hit the base of the stone wall on the second row. And some girl's dog, Rory, I saw this on Twitter, made a heck of a play. It bounces off the wall, and Rory just jumps right on it, catches that ball, and actually delivered it to Hamader's grandfather, which I thought was a really, really, really cool story. So I just wanted to add that in there. Not all bad this weekend.
That's a great story. It's not all bad. But when that's your only run most of the game, up until the seventh inning, after giving up four in the top of the seventh, this bullpen worries me. It cannot get it done. There are only a few guys I trust in there. And, you know, we ended up paying the price going down 4-1. We did come back. One in the eighth, two in the ninth. One in the seventh, two in the eighth to make it 4-4. Just an incredible game. But then again, Grayson Itt comes out on the mound and four runs in the top of the 11th. Alabama loses 8-4. I know I have become the Johnny Raincloud of this podcast. Not me. People who know me know I am not a Johnny Raincloud. I love to be positive. But oh my gosh, this bullpen needs to show me something for me to start believing and trusting in them again, or else we're going to have a lot of these outings. 8-4 because someone gave up four in the top of the inning. So I don't know.
I think we get caught in a bad spot here too, because and this is kind of on Bo here, but we go McNary, who gives up three, who's just been god-awful in the past few games. Then we go Guffey in a tough spot. He gives up one, which I don't really fault Guffey there. I mean, he came in a really hard spot. So the only pitch is one, which Guffey is somewhat of our setup guy. So I don't know why he only went one. We bring in William Freeman, who's been pretty solid for us in the times he's come in. We bring in Chase Lee, which you have to in the ninth. He's our closer. Actually, he came in the eighth, but still, he gives you two full innings, one hit, four strikeouts. But then you bring in Grayson Hitt, and he doesn't do well. And hasn't been. I get it, because your only other option is Eli, I think. And
who came in after Hitt?
Who has definitely stepped it up in the past couple of weeks, for sure. But based on analytics, you don't put Eli in there. You put Grayson in. Unfortunately, that's what happens. So,
yeah,
man, it's tough.
It is tough. And the guy I feel for the most for that performance is Dylan Smith, because this just seems to be the story of every game. You know, team can't get it done. And if it's a win, we got it with the bullpen in, so Dylan doesn't get credit. And if it's a loss, it's because he gave up a run and we lose 1-0 or something like that. In this case, it was he did great. Guys after him gave up just a bunch of runs. So Dylan Smith is better than the record show is my sentiment this whole time. And I cannot wait for him to get his first win on the season. I will celebrate that on the podcast. That, you know, we'll even pop some champagne maybe.
Don't tell me with a good time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really tough for Dylan. He's going out there, he's working hard. And even in that game, you see that he didn't even give up a run in his start. So, yeah, it's just tough. It's clear that we're missing Prelip a lot. And we're still really not sure what's going on with Prelip yet.
Yeah, he just kind of disappeared.
It seems like it's an elbow injury from what I've heard. It sounds very much like it's Tommy John without them trying to say it's Tommy John. So I don't know. No one knows when he's going to come back. It's just frustrating, especially with the almost not even almost, Prelip's a generational talent. You know, he's going to be up there in the draft, hopefully, whenever he gets over this, but he's a heck of a pitcher, and we're missing him big time. So, I don't know. But we move into Easter Sunday, and this is all Austin. So, Austin, take it away.
Sure. We have our series finale on Easter Sunday, and it did not turn out as great for the Tide as I anticipated. We got a 9-8 loss. So there was definitely some high spots in this game. It was very back and forth contest. I mean, you look first inning, 3-3, second inning, 2-1, fourth split, 1-1, alternating runs through that first half of the game. Really wasn't until the seventh, eighth, and ninth that the game really separates. But saw a lot of strong potential from offense, particularly, you know, but we still have a lot of these bullpen issues that we touched on Saturday. They definitely did not get better on Sunday. As we come in, we have, you know, five guys pitch a nine-inning game. And just really, I mean, you know, multiple earned runs by all of these guys, just kind of the bullpen still needs to come together. We've got to get that going. Because when our offense is able to produce, we've got to be able to capitalize on that. And I was very impressed this week that we did not have a falling off game. In this three-game series, there was not a super low score. We dropped the ball, one run, blown out game. The offense was at least somewhat producing in all of these games, and it really turned out to be bullpen pitching a lot of these times. And what happened in the eighth and the ninth, we had our run to come back, and it was one short in the ninth on the offensive side. But really, guys, when you have nine runs put up, it's going to be hard to get that comeback and come back and win that when your pitching staff's giving up nine runs.
Yeah, you're absolutely right with that. It was tough. And, you know, I don't know if you guys saw this, but in watching Sunday's game and the game ends, they looked – like, they took that extremely personally. It just seeing the players after – obviously, you take every loss personally. You're upset about every loss. But there were some guys that were just kind of standing out there looking like – this one was a little extra singer. And, like, this one was I think they thought they could have had it and could have had the series at least. And they weren't happy with it. So maybe we'll see some changes. Maybe this was – what they needed, but to me it just looked like these guys are sick of losing.
And I think another thing to touch on, especially what I saw on Sunday and even through Saturday as well, the base on balls. So we had nine walks on Sunday, multiple of those walks bringing in runs, and just the amount of runs walked in, it's just so frustrating. And the amount of bases loaded situations that these pitchers are in and then can force on to the next guy coming out of the bullpen. You know, it's really a situation that just compounds itself. Of if that guy sets up that bad position, it's going to hurt the next guy coming up.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. So tough weekend for the Crimson Tide. Definitely had some opportunities there. We'll talk about going forward into the next week with the midweek game versus ULM and then heading to College Station for it's going to be a tough road series. So when we return, we'll be talking about that. So stick around. And this has been Right Field Roundtable.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back, folks, to Right Field Roundtable Podcast. We were just having quite a blast during the break. We'll talk about that a little later in part three. But right now we're looking ahead for the Alabama Crimson Tide. And this week, starting on Wednesday, because the Tuesday game got canceled for unknown reasons, we're taking on ULM in Tuscaloosa before we head to College Station and take on Texas A&M in a three-game series starting on Friday. So, what do we think about Wednesday, guys?
This one worries me.
You think so?
To be completely honest, this one worries me. Seeing our performance against Southern Miss last week and looking at ULM's resume, we're in a three-game series with then fourth-ranked Ole Miss, They won a game. They won the Sunday game. And then the next Tuesday, like Sunday, and then the Tuesday after that, they beat number 14 Oklahoma State 13-6 in the midweek game. So like ULM, they may have a losing record. They may be 10-14. But man, those are two great back-to-back wins against Ole Miss and Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
So
that's, should we get a prediction here?
I will go 4-3 Alabama.
All right. So maybe a little trouble in paradise, but nothing too crazy. Just a rainy beach day.
Just a rainy beach day. But it will be a sour rainy beach day because it may be a 3-1 lead ULM late in the game, and we have to dig ourselves out of a hole to win 4-3. But that's my prediction.
Those are fun games, though. It's all good. Austin, your prediction.
Definitely with Cooper on this one. I normally look to these midweek games as a way for us to get a little fine tune-up in for the weekend series. But, you know, the strong resume, as you mentioned, you know, this is going to be very dangerous. As you can see as well, a lead early in the game, particularly based off of how our bats have been moving early on in innings, just in the past few games we've seen. I'm going to go 3-2 Alabama, but very close ULM lead at some part in this game.
All right. Yeah, I'm kind of with you guys. I'm a little nervous, but I think we take care of business. I'm going 6-4 Alabama win, and we got it handled by the 7th. So, and then we move in to College Station, Friday, 6:30 p.m. First pitch. Boy, this one. I've had some mixed feelings about this because there's sometimes where I look, there's some games that I look and I'm like, wow, Texas A&M's a really good baseball team. And then you look at some other games on their schedule and you're like, what happened to you? You know, so I don't know. What are you guys thinking about this series here?
The series in a general, I think, is going to be a crucial series for Alabama. I think you get a win here. You can salvage your hope for the season. And it's like, okay, we just had a tough draw. You know, we had to play number 1, number 3, number 6, back to back to back. So I think you get a win this series, you know, it builds that confidence. You lose this series, I'm feeling really down in the dumps and just kind of writing off this season. If we win, hey, that's great. If we lose, that's what I expect. So this season for me will be the give me hope for the rest of the season or just laugh this season off. And, you know, I'm kind of like just I'm watching Alabama baseball for the fun of baseball, not for the thrill of winning.
Fair enough. I think that's fair. You know, Texas A&M is coming off a 2-game losing streak to Missouri out of anyone, who's arguably the worst team in the SEC. Also, I'd like to point out that after this series, Alabama's home against Samford, home against Auburn in a home series, home against North Alabama. They got to go to Kentucky, but Kentucky's not that threatening this year. And then they got to play at home against Missouri after a Regions Field game, which, again, love that kind of game. Love Regions Field. Huge game. UAB. But they have a stretch of games against some teams that they are very capable of sweeping and beating. So I think Friday's going to huge. If we can get a win, I think Friday propels us for a solid winning streak in the next couple of weeks. Austin, what are you thinking?
Gotta say, I agree with Cooper again, or agree with both of you. I think this is a series that is a must win in every sense of the word. 2 games, if not 3, and both are possible. It's realistic. We have shown that we can play and compete with the top of the SEC. Now it's time to go in and get a series win against somebody that we definitely have the opportunity to. I'm very excited to see our team play this weekend, and I'm hopeful that it will be a strong series. I think we improved a lot in this Tennessee series, and I think we can move that into at least 2 solid wins. I'm going to say 3 solid wins and really hope we can pull out this week.
Yeah, so let's get right into predictions, and I'll agree with you right there. Starting off with my prediction, Tyler Raz. He's going to go seven innings in this first Friday game. He's going to pitch really, really well. I like how he's been pitching, especially against this high-tier talent. Obviously, he gives up a couple of runs against Tennessee, but altogether pulled himself together and kept us in that Friday game just so that the bullpen could come in with a little easier mindset. So I like Tyler Rass here going seven. I'm going 4-3 victory for the Crimson Tide. Hard-fought win, but good win for the Crimson Tide.
All right, I will up the ante a little bit. I think we went a little bigger than that on Friday. The win against Tennessee on Friday really really boosted my confidence a little bit on this team to win on Friday nights. So I'm going to go a copy of last Friday's score, 7-4. I think we can win that big in College Station.
All right, awesome.
Agree for sure. I'm going to say 8-4. On the game on Friday night. We've given a strong showing on Friday so far, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. I think we can do it again.
All right. Now we move into Saturday, and man, Dylan Smith, I'm sorry, buddy. You're getting a win this week. You're getting a win. It's happening. Dylan Smith goes probably another six that he's been doing by himself. No runs. Alabama gets the win here. I'm going 7-3. Bats start early, and we give up a little bit towards the end with the bullpen, but bullpen's able to hold on. Dylan Smith gets his first win.
You know what? I am tired of this. I am pissed off. It is about time he gets the win. Just dang it, Dylan Smith, if he has to do it himself, if he has to go nine innings and tell Bo to have him hit two, and he hit a home run to win this game 1-0. God dang it, Dylan Smith is going to do it. I don't really think that's going to happen, but that would be great if they just abandoned the DH for that game so Dylan Smith can go 1-0.
On his own back?
On his own back, yeah. But, no, I think Dylan Smith goes 6, maybe even 7. Maybe he can stretch it out. I think we win this one 3-1.
All right, awesome.
Glad to see that the rest of you guys are joining my team optimism train. And you know that I'm pulling for the W for Dylan Smith on Saturday. A broken clock is right twice a day. We're going for it for the second weekend. I think he's got it this time. I'm really, you know, guys, we've seen high scoring after high scoring game on Saturday for this team all season. And you know Dylan Smith's going to come out. He's going to pitch a great game. I think the bullpen can get it together, but like you guys have said, I think he's going a long time in this game. He's going at least 6 innings, possibly 7. Maybe we can get a little less dependency on them. I'm going to say it's a really low-scoring game, 3-1 Alabama.
All right. And we're moving to Sunday, 1 p.m. first pitch, and contrary to popular belief, this one is going to be the big game for the Crimson Tide. And I'll tell you why, because they are going to light up the scoreboard on Sunday. I'm talking 11-1 victory, Alabama. They're just going to come out and dominate this game. I think getting the confidence of winning the first two games and paired with Texas A&M's losing streak going into the series, I think if they can get the first two series, I think it's going to be what we enjoy on this campus from other sports. I believe it's called Murder Ball. And that's what's going to happen on Sunday. We're just going to come out and destroy them and really start this winning streak for the Crimson Tide. So 11-1 victory for the Crimson Tide for me on Sunday.
I would love to watch Murder Ball. Take it one step further, Joyless Murder Ball.
Oh, Joyless Murder Ball is the best.
Joyless Murder Ball is the best. However, I don't think that happens on Sunday. We will have already won the series, which I think will be enough confidence booster going in the rest of this season, which we have called like this is the pivotal moment of the season. However, I do think we fall short on Sunday. Nothing against the players. I just think A&M, they've shown signs of brilliance, and they won't take too kindly to being swept by Alabama and improving their losing streak to 5 games. So I think they play a little bit hungrier, a little bit madder. They get the win 6-3, but it's nothing to be upset about. We've won the series. This gives us the confidence going into that Samford game, Auburn, Kentucky, Missouri. So I think we're fine, but I do think we drop Sunday.
Awesome.
I feel good about Sunday. I think the bullpen struggles are going to start to creep in here a little bit, and it's going to catch back up with us. I'm going to predict a 7-6 Alabama win in extra innings. I think we're going to pull it out, but it's going to be a lot closer, and I think the bullpen is going to really struggle on Sunday, but we find a way to pull it out with the offense.
I like it. I like it, boys. Yeah, I like we said, this is going to be a big series, so we will see how it plays out, but it all starts one game at a time on Wednesday, home against ULM. So that'll do it for our look ahead. When we come back, we'll be moving into part three, a little new part three this week. We'll be talking just more so about the weekend series with the SEC, and then we're going to talk a little MLB as the MLB started this weekend. So Austin and I probably don't want to talk that much about opening weekend, but you know, Cooper's team is 3-0, so he figured we'd start this section this week. So when we come back, we'll talk SEC baseball and MLB baseball. So stick around, and we'll be right back with Rightful Wrong.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
Roundtable podcast. We're in part three. We're going to do a bunch of stuff. Starting off with scores from the weekend for the SEC, starting on Thursday, April Fool's Day. And this was no April Fool's Day or April Fool's joke at all. Auburn beats number 2 Arkansas 2-1 on Thursday. You know, Arkansas just simply played better. But I also think we've seen this in the first game of series for Arkansas now. Teams are kind of just jumping on them there. So I don't know what they have to figure out there, whether it's pitching or they just like can't get going with the bats in the first game. But they got to figure it out. Auburn gets the win 2-1.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. If I'm an Arkansas fan, I don't like that the first game of a series is almost a guaranteed loss. Although I'm pretty sure they went on to win the next two, so they'll be fine. However, like, that's something they got to figure out. What I'm looking at is Florida beat Ole Miss 4-1, number 15 beat number 3, which, you know, a ranked team beat a ranked team. That's not too crazy, but, you know, Ole Miss also had a loss, and they're number 3, and Florida's 15, so just another reminder to watch out for those Gators. Like, they're going to, I think, win the East.
It's tough with that, with Vanderbilt there.
It's tough with Vanderbilt, but I think they might be able to do it.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's possible. I think anyone can win either division in this conference. I mean, it's just ridiculous, the talent in this conference. Austin, anything stand out to you?
Checking out the Texas A&M Missouri game. Texas pulled that one out 16-2. So we've kind of mentioned earlier what Brandon mentioned about this team can be on and it can be off. We saw the Texas A&M that was on Thursday of this stat that every starter had a hit in this game. Of, you know, the offensive firepower that they have in their ability, multiple 4 doubles, 1 triple. You know, this is a scary team when they're on, and we hope that we don't see it this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right with that. Hopefully we get the off Texas A&M this week as we move into Friday. Looking at Friday, you know, I'm looking at this Mississippi State team. Obviously, they had some losses, and that's why they're at that 8th ranking right now. But for me, going from 3 to – or from – I believe they were 3 or 4 to 8, that was a long drop for me, I think. I think Mississippi State's a really good ball club, and – they get their second win of the series, 3-2 over Kentucky. Look out. I don't understand why the rankings change so much in baseball, and I know it's mostly because there are just so many polls that determine the final rankings, but to go from 4-8 in one weekend is kind of crazy, and I just think Mississippi State's a really, really good ball club. So be on the lookout for them too as well when we're talking about the SEC.
All right. All right. I'm going to point out the or highlight the only upset of the day. Unranked Georgia upset number 14, South Carolina, 5-3. So, you know, it's baseball. Anything can happen on any day on the diamond. Georgia proved that today. South Carolina is still a really good ball club, though, so I don't think they have to worry about this.
No, they do not. Austin?
I'm going to highlight again the top dog, Vanderbilt Commodores, winning 11-2 against LSU. And once again, guys, like I mentioned on the last podcast, this is their 14th consecutive conference road win. And just, you know, the monster that is Vandy baseball, and they're going to be a tough, tough team to beat in the SEC.
They're just so good, man. It's not fair. It's not fair. You can't have that good of pitching. That's just whatever. Anyway, moving into, I believe this was Saturday. Yeah, Saturday. Most of these series were actually wrapping up this day. But I'm going to take a look, kind of alluded to this in part two, but Missouri gets their second win over A&M, ends up winning the series in the last two games of the season. Listen, Missouri's not the best. They're not very good, but again, this is what shows you, I mean, the talent in this league, regardless if you're ranked or not ranked, is ridiculous, and you can lose whenever, like at any time. So Missouri gets the win here, and this is off Texas A&M, what we hope to see next week. Cooper?
I'm going to point out Florida again. They beat Ole Miss the second time in the series, winning the series over third-ranked Ole Miss. And it just goes to show, I think this Gator team is really good. I think they'll move up from the polls in this. I don't know if Ole Miss will drop pretty far. Maybe Mississippi State takes their spot. Like, they just kind of flop 3 days or something. Because you were talking about how much turnover there is in the rankings right now, but I think it comes down to Florida Vandy in the East. I think that is a really good series that Florida comes out on top, and just can't wait for May when that series would be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Austin?
The Razorbacks pulling out the finale game 6-5 against the Auburn Tigers, and this one was a very interesting one, guys. 10-inning thriller, walk-off RBI in the bottom of the 10th. And also a very interesting thing to note, that was their second come-from-behind game in that series. So to come back and win those final two, I think it really shows that Arkansas has got the ability to come back and win the games, that they should win, even when they're in bad position or have made mistakes early on. So it'll be interesting to see them coming out into the rest of the SEC season.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. Definitely agree with that. So, you know, we move into Sunday. There was only two games on Sunday, ours and South Carolina. South Carolina ends up getting the series win over Georgia. So, with that being said, let's look at some standings here. You know, in the East, obviously Vanderbilt is 8-1 in the conference. They are 23-3 overall, and they are standing tall on top of the SEC, let alone the SEC East. And then, you know, trailed by Tennessee, who's 7-2 in the conference, obviously good team that we played this weekend, and, you know, South Carolina, Kentucky, and Florida actually below Kentucky, which is crazy because Kentucky is unranked and Florida is ranked. But again, that just goes to show you how conference play works in this conference. So, and then, I don't know. What do you guys think of those standings, at least for the East? I mean, obviously, it's very top-heavy.
I mean, Florida and Kentucky are tied right now in the SEC with a 5-4 record. They're both three games back. I think Florida is lower than they should be. I keep saying that. Think Tennessee's a little higher than where they should be. You know, they looked good against us, but there are times where, you know, we could have won all three of those games and have swept this series. So, you know, I think Tennessee's a little higher. Vanderbilt, obviously, one of the best. Can't wait to see them play, you know, some of the best teams in the SEC and watch those games. So the only thing I'd say about these SEC standings is Florida should be higher than they are.
Awesome. Yeah.
I think it's really interesting to see, guys. You know, we see Vanderbilt as the top giant in the East, but I really think this is going to come down to a Vandy, South Carolina, Florida competition for the East. I really think Tennessee is way too high in the position in second place, like what Cooper touched on. I really don't think Kentucky is going to be much of a force either. I really think it's going to come down to how South Carolina and Florida can perform and if they can knock off Vandy. I think, you know, the way Vandy's play on the road, the way they just play in general, I mean, it's going to be really hard. And those head-to-head series is going to be really what makes the difference in that side of the conference.
Yeah, couldn't agree more with both of you. I definitely think it's a three-team race there. Personally, I think Vandy's going to win it. But like you guys said, anything can happen. And I think either of those teams also have equal shots. So as we move into the West standings, obviously Arkansas sitting at number two in the country, 7-2 in the conference, 22-4 overall. They're not really going anywhere right now. You know, Ole Miss trails right behind them. Obviously a series loss this weekend, but 7-2 in the conference, 21-6 overall. You know, both equally good. 2-3 respectively. So, and then followed behind that, we got Mississippi State 5-4 in the conference, 20-7 overall, who we've talked about. And then, you know, Texas A&M 3-6 following that. We know that they're on and off, just like LSU and Alabama, who are also at the bottom, and then Auburn at the very, very bottom with the 12-13 overall record. You know, I think the top three are correct, and I think LSU, Alabama, and Texas A&M, depending on their series coming up this weekend, really have an opportunity to jump in with those teams. I wouldn't say that they have a chance. You know, it's very tough to beat one team in Arkansas for the top, let alone three teams that are all kind of vying for it right now. But I think that, you know, with the weekend series for A&M, Alabama, and LSU, they definitely have an opportunity to turn their season around and get in that top three, top four conversation.
Yeah, of those bottom four, the race, I think, is really only between A&M and Alabama. And whoever wins this weekend series gets that fourth spot. I don't think any of those teams are cracking the top three with the two Mississippi schools and the Arkansas. With Arkansas. But whoever wins this series gets that fourth spot, gets to be the higher seed come SEC tournament. You know, I don't see a lot of shakeup in the standing after next weekend. You know, I think it'll always be Arkansas, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, winner of Texas A&M, Alabama, winner of Auburn, LSU, whenever they play. And that'll be it. And you'll see, like, numbers move, but they'll all move together. So the names not have to change. So if you're a sports writer, just get ready to copy and paste those seven names in that order for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think you're right with that. I think you're right. Austin?
I tend to think this is a two-team race here, guys, in the West. I think Arkansas has definitely proven themselves, and I think Ole Miss is definitely up there in the top of the SEC contention. But I'm interested. I'm hopeful that we're going to pull out this series against Texas A&M to kind of vault us into that category to be able to compete for the top of the West and give us that momentum. And I feel like I'm just really interested to see this Mississippi State series that we'll have later on in the season. And I think we'll be able to compete if we can pull off that series. We definitely can make a run for third place. And I think it's more of a two-team race for the dominant top as opposed to third.
Yeah, I think we play Mississippi State right before the SEC tournament as well. So that'll be a good kind of preview slash – I don't want to say warm up, but tune up kind of series to get us going. So it'll be interesting.
They're the last series of the year.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. So
we end with LSU and Mississippi State in Baton Rouge, and then we play Mississippi State here in Tuscaloosa. So
there you go. So those are the current standings. Now we'll move into opening weekend of MLB baseball, which was, for me, not so fun, but we'll let Cooper take the lead on this, huh?
Yeah, so we'll talk opening weekend. We have three MLB teams represented in our little group here, two division rivals, and just one team that, hey, they're fun to watch every now and then. I'll catch a game of theirs, you know, in their stadium. I guess I'll say the way the Rays won the series against the Marlins. They went 2-1, dropped game 3 to the Marlins, but scored a lot of runs there, which was one of my main concerns over spring training. Was I wasn't seeing the Rays score a lot of runs, but we scored runs, we got out jams, and it was just a good series. We played Boston at the start of this week, and then I believe we move on to the Yankees. So, Brandon, you and I will be matching up over the weekend, a 3-game series, which will be fun for you. I'm a little worried about that, but go ahead and give me your outlook on the Yankees.
I don't know. I know the Blue Jays are good this year, but when we lose with Gerrit Cole on the mound, nothing makes me angrier because we just paid that man so much money. Obviously not his fault, but you know, he had a great outing, but it's just frustrating. Yankees lose it in extras on Thursday. They don't play Friday. They come in Saturday. Looks like they have the game pretty well handled. They end up winning that one. So that was good, but then they come back on Sunday and lose again. And I'm a little nervous. I don't like losing the first, you know, 2 out of 3. But we do have some series coming up. Like, we play the Orioles, and I think we play the Rays, and then I think we get all the divisional players first. I think we go to the Red Sox after that and then start, as Gary Sanchez just falls into the dugout. They're playing the Orioles right now. That didn't look good. But, I think they get the Red Sox after that. So they have some opportunity to pick up some wins. Definitely a little more worried about the Rays than anyone, I would say, out of those three. Just because the Orioles played the Red Sox, who are terrible.
The Red Sox are bad this year. I saw an article where it's like the Red Sox would be the sneaky good team of the AL East.
Right.
They're not.
No, they're not. The Orioles are young without big-name talent. The Rays are young with big-name talent, and that's why I'm more nervous about the Rays. Austin?
Rough weekend for the Atlanta Braves. Played a Thursday, Saturday, Sunday series against divisional opponents, the Phillies. We're going into division again this coming up week against the Nationals. So we're getting these games started off early. And once again, having a lot of struggles in the beginning of the season. And just bullpen was not that bad this weekend. Our bullpen performed pretty strong, which is a phrase you don't hear from Braves fans very often. But and the Phillies bullpen was actually much more dominant, which is normally their weak point. So that kind of a change of scenery of what we normally see from the NL East. Definitely just the offensive production was not there, and the starting pitching was just not exactly there. I don't think there's a huge cause for concern in this opening series. Just hurts to lose the first 3 of the season. I think we'll ride the ship coming up and get some production going.
Hey, there's only 158 more. It's not a big deal.
59. You go 0-162. That's Austin.
Yeah, listen. I mean, like, it's great that baseball's back, but you know, there's some people that take opening weekend way too seriously. Play well after the All-Star break. It doesn't really matter at that. Like, as long as you play 500 baseball until the All-Star break, it really doesn't matter.
Hey, don't give away the Rays secret. That's kind of what they do.
I know. I just did.
Play 500 to the All-Star break. Make a
run. It's a good system. It's a good system.
It's a good system.
Win 50% of your games. Go to the All-Star break. Win 95% of your games after that. Become the one, you know, be the 2
guaranteed
seed
wild card. Yeah, there you go. I was looking ahead since, Brandon, you and I were divisional rivals, the Yankees and Rays. I wanted to see if the Braves will play either of our teams. And they actually play both. April 20th and 21st, the Braves and the Yankees have a 2-game set. And then all the way down in, what is this, July, the Rays and the Braves have a 3-game weekend series. So we'll all get to play each other. So that'll be a fun for our three teams to face off.
You know, I might go to that Tuesday. How much are tickets for that? I'm kind of looking now. Is that? Oh, wait.
It's in New York.
Atlanta or is it? Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I probably won't go to that game then, but darn. All right.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's been the MLB, and now we have, I believe, our jersey debate, right? We're down to the final two for each grouping.
We are down for the final two in each grouping, so I can announce the winners off the Twitter page if y'all are ready. And so what we'll do is whoever pitched these two uniforms, the other two will debate which one they like between the two. So I'll go first. I'll let you two have the debate. My two winners were Florida versus Mississippi State. Now, to recall, I picked the all-white Florida with the blue cursive font and a blue stripe down the pants. And for Mississippi State, picked the all-cream with the maroon state. So which one of those two are you picking?
So for me, I really... and not a big fan of the cream uniforms in baseball. I don't get the obsession. I don't like it. I heard Alabama's going to do it this year. I don't like it. I think it's stupid. And to be honest with you, I like the look of the Florida all whites. They look like the Dodgers. They look very classy. So my pick is the Floridas.
Austin, of those two, who are you picking?
I will go with Mississippi State, guys. You know, to see this cream color, I'm kind of a fan. Just a little bit of a retro look on that as well. You know, I love the cursive script. And while Florida has it, I think that Mississippi State is a little bit more unique. You know, got a little bit of a flair in there, a little bit of a off retro. And I mean, you know, got to love that maroon color too.
All right. So are we just letting the people decide this after, or are we just debating it and let the people decide?
We'll let the people decide, but we'll let everyone know who we're voting for. So
right, I like it.
Brandon's right. voting for Florida. Austin's got Mississippi State.
I'll put my two uniforms on the chopping block next. The final two for me were the Ole Miss Baby Blues and I believe the Alabama Toronto Blue Jays font, red top, pinstripe pants combination.
Austin, I will let you go first. You have first dibs. Go ahead.
And I will take the home Tide, Alabama Crimson Tide. You know, it's the typical home team fan that I am. I will get the people on my side. I will pick the Alabama Red Tops. And honestly, you know, gotta love it. One of my best looking Alabama uniforms, in my opinion. You know, I mean, it's definitely up there. And love the pinstripe bottoms. Love the font on the top. I mean, you know, you can't go wrong. It's Alabama Crimson Tide. Come on.
I just want to point out, too, that although the picture that we submitted is a batter, the hats that go along with this are also fantastic. Red hats, white piping, just good look.
Good look. However, I will take the opposite side. I will play the devil's advocate. No matter how I feel, I will give Ole Miss a fair shake. And the baby blues, for some reason, are a classic in baseball. Every team wants them. Every team has them. And Ole Miss decided to copy that. And you know what? It looks all right, I guess. They're good. You know, it's American. It's baby blue and red. That's what everybody wants. So... if that's what you're into, if you're into the baby blue and the red, go vote for Ole Miss. I may do that. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. but yeah, the baby blues are very appealing to most people who like that style. And so if you're a big fan of like the 80s Cardinals and the 80s Braves, the 80s Reds, go ahead and vote for Ole Miss.
I will point it out, too, that the baby blue extends past baseball. The Brooklyn Nets brought out their classic retro baby blue and red unis this year from the 80s. Those are fantastic. I have a Kevin Durant jersey in that style. I'm just saying, the baby blue extends across all sports.
than those, I prefer black and white Brooklyn Nets.
Better. Oh, me too. But they're a different change of pace that I really like.
Okay, they're a change of pace.
Yeah.
I will stand by my hardline argument that the Atlanta Braves V-neck baby blues are the only ones that should be worn and or highlighted.
So, guys,
moving into my top two uniforms to round out the group, we've got the Kentucky. We got an old school white on white. I love the cats on the left side of the jersey. You know, just makes it look classic and clean. Tip like really old school jersey. And then, of course, the Vandy top dogs. You've got the patriotic uniforms, army green going on, a little bit of red, white, and blue action. And, you know, how can you go against some America going on?
Yeah, I'll go ahead. I'm voting Vandy. You can't go wrong with the patriotic unis, man. I mean, listen, I will say there was an omit of a Vanderbilt uniform for this list that I feel needed to be highlighted with the black and gold pinstripes. But I understand that those are a little weird. Those are a little funky. So you gotta love the patriotic uniforms. You gotta love the, you know, the flag print. It all looks good. So I'm going Vanderbilt here, even though I will say Kentucky does look fantastic.
I'll go flip side again. I'll go Kentucky. I think if Vanderbilt submitted those pinstripes jerseys, they might have my vote, sorry. But Kentucky, that's just a classic look. You know, it in this picture, it almost looks cream colored, which I'm a big fan of the cream. So it's got Kentucky there, cats on the side. I think that's really cool. Number down there on the stomach, always a big fan of that. So Kentucky is a classic clean jersey. I'm going with the Wildcats.
So there you have it, folks. Be on the lookout for Cooper, Austin, and I's Twitter accounts. Austin and I will be retweeting and, you know, supporting that off of Cooper's account. Go vote for your favorites, and we will have a final three going in next week. Take all the marbles. So, but with that being said, this is the end of our show. We appreciate you taking the time to listen to us. And we will be back next week after this hard-fought series with Texas A&M. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.